Peter Mather's gardened as naturally as he talked and told stories. In my study, on the bookshelves, I don't keep gardening books as such, but I have bush guides of various sorts, and volumes on Australian wildflowers. The Greening of Gondwana, I see here, by Mary White, was a big book in its time. On the museum shelves, there are various dried plants. I have leaves from myrtle beeches and Podocarpus plum pines, leaves from Araucarian pines, a bunya cone. These are reminders of old Gondwana. Among them, wrapped in a placky bag, I have a half-composted copy of the Wart Papers that Peter Mathers gave me some years ago. You can hear the flakes of it. There's Australian comic writing next to the Australian soil. So that's the Library and Museum corner at the moment. Moving over to the project table. The subject of gardens never quite goes away. There always seem to be a few ideas about gardens kicking around on the table. There's an interesting literature on the history and philosophy of gardens, especially about the Renaissance gardens. My own garden serves as an extension of the study when conditions are right, when the motor mower is shut up and the weather is comfortable. For me, the wonderful thing about a garden is that it's where art meets nature. As I love both, of course, the interplay between the two has much fascination. My wife loves her flowers. The art in the garden may be a simple plant arrangement, or the grand statuary and fountains of a Renaissance villa, or perhaps the formal perfection of a Japanese temple garden. It may tell us about the human condition or a divine order, which itself may be seen in nature, if that's your belief. There's a whole range of dialectic interplays that go on. Art and nature, we have the animate and the inanimate. We enjoy the plants growing around mossy old stones and along disappearing paths, sprinkled with birdsong. Art and nature, the static and the changing. Both art and nature can give us at once a sense of the eternal and the ever-changing, season by season, year by year. Art and nature, the wild and the domestic. I hate the contemporary fashion for sterile, overplanned gardens with their spindly shrubs and monotonous tones. Gardens are places where small animals, birds, butterflies and insects come into the wild corners, abiding their time, rather like Peter on Palaco Hill. Art and nature, the dead and the living, beautifully encapsulated in our compost bins with all those worms of Peter's. Art and nature, the public and the private. I think a garden is public like a library at its best, where it allows the private to breathe. Gardens are not just for leisure and enjoyment. They can give food for the mind, making thought in the forms of poetry, philosophy and love can make these become visible. Their beauty awakens our very inwardness. Our garden centres on a patio partly shaded by trees. At the far end under the plum tree we have a little fountain and a small fish pond. I've decorated the fountain with old stones and shells and a few kitschy pieces of statuary, a hypothetical bandicoot, twittering little stone birds. The fountain pump also drives a small cascade over a shell arrangement. I like to sit by it and read, or just watch it, listening to the sound of the water. It's better than TV any day. The sound of water has its own fascination. There's another dialectic lurking here too, one of memory and forgetfulness. Gardens are where men come home to again, when the long journey comes to an end and the soul craves rest. Peter Mathers, of course, will live on in his work. So, with those thoughts, I will leave you with some water sounds.